We've been looking at marriage. 2 weeks ago, we kind of launched into that. And this month is the month of marriage anyway. We often hear talk of June brides. A lot of marriages seem to take place in the month of June. But when we think about marriage, we think about the sanctity of marriage and the beauty of it and all that God intended it to be. It's only fitting that we go to God's Word and look at what He directs us to do and how we select our spouses and how we are as the people He wants us to be in our marriages. And I know there are some of you that are a little bit older and you may be looking at this and think as we go through this series, well, this means totally nothing to me because I've been married for X number of years and we're kind of settled in and it's a little late for you to be talking about some of these things now. It may be for you, but it's not for the younger ones in this congregation and it's not for your grandchildren or maybe your great-grandchildren or your children. And so as we share these things over the next few weeks and talk about what God has to say, I would encourage you to take notes and pass this on because this is good information. Not because I'm preaching it, but because it's from God's Word and it's what God has to say. But in the book of Proverbs, we find a great deal of wisdom that God gives us in every realm of life and specifically in the realm of marriage. And that's where we're going to spend our time this morning. It's important that we do that because of one of the things that Paul says in Ephesians chapter 5. If you look at verses 15 through 17, he tells us that we're to be careful how we walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. He tells us why. He says that we're to make the most of our time because, as he says, the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So I want to begin, first of all, with looking at the concept of the selection of a wife. If you're a young man here today, or if you've got a son or a grandson that is considering marriage, I want to share with you and maybe with them what to look for in a wife. You know, it's important that we make the right choice. The reason for that is that much happiness depends upon making the right choice. If you look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 4, Solomon has this to say. He says, "An excellent wife is the crown of her husband, but she who shames him is rottenness in his bones." Solomon understood that if we make a good choice, men, in the choice of a wife, that woman is going to be a crown to us. That woman is going to be a blessing in our lives. It greatly enhances the life that we will live. But the wrong choice can destroy a man from the very beginning, from the inside out. And what I want you to understand is that it's folly to think that we can just make a mistake in this area and then easily correct it. Too many people walk into marriage thinking, well, if it doesn't work out, I'll find someone else. Divorce is not an easy solution. And not only that, God hates divorce. And remarriage may not be a viable option for a person who is a child of God. In Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, God said through his prophet Malachi, "I hate divorce, said the Lord, the God of Israel, and him who covers his garment with wrong. So take heed to your spirit that you do not deal treacherously." God does not want us to do that. Even when divorce and remarriage are a viable option, if there are children, then the selection that you made is of their mother for their children can make that even worse because those children will always have the same mother and there's no way to change that. And so it's important that you consider we need wisdom from God in choosing who we shall marry. So what are some guidelines when we go to Scripture and look at what God has to say for choosing a spouse? Well, one of the things I want to begin with is something that should just be first in our minds, and it is this: seek help from God. Too many times we go out looking for someone we want to marry and we don't ask God for help in making the right choices. But we need to learn to seek help from God. In Proverbs chapter 19, there in verse 14, Solomon said, "House and wealth are an inheritance from the Lord, from fathers, but a prudent wife," he says, "is from the Lord." House and wealth are an inheritance from our fathers, but a prudent wife comes from God. Success in the venture of marriage may depend upon God more than we often think, and we need to consider the seriousness of that matter. It's not something we just walk into, and we don't want to go into it alone. We want God's guidance. But also, when we think about guidelines for a good wife, we need to understand, do not place your priority on good looks alone. Most of us are drawn to that person that we marry initially because they're beautiful or they're handsome. And then we get to know them more and we learn other things about them that also draw us to them. But I want you to remember something that Solomon said, or actually it wasn't Solomon, it was King Lemuel's mother in Proverbs chapter 31. If you'll look at verse 30, here's the statement she makes to her son. She says, "Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised." Contrary to what I've seen one person say on TV, beauty is just skin deep. It's temporary. And we can easily grow accustomed to it, and we need not to. It's a poor foundation upon which to build a good marriage. And sadly, most marriages are built on a little more than just physical attraction. So when the attractiveness wanes, or when we are no longer that handsome young man or that beautiful young woman that the other person married in our teens or our 20s or 30s even, what do we do then? So don't place your priorities just on good looks alone. There are some characteristics to look for in a woman. What are those? Well, one of those, as I've already mentioned, is the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 31, verse 30. And that woman who possesses the fear of the Lord has the beginnings of wisdom. If you look at Proverbs 1, verse 7, Solomon said that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And having a wife who is a devout Christian should be a primary concern. And when I say that, I want you to understand something. I've heard people say, well, I married a Christian, but this person isn't what I had hoped for. This person isn't committed to God. Well, there's a difference. There are some people who wear the name, and there are some people who live the life. And what you're looking for is someone who lives the life. Someone who honors God in their very walk. Someone who honors God by the things they say and the things they do and how they treat you and how they treat those around them. That's what you're looking for. Someone who is devoted to Him. You want a woman who is, first and all, a person who fears God. But secondly, a woman who shows discretion. In Proverbs 11, verse 22, Solomon said, "As a ring of gold in a swine's snout, so is a beautiful woman who lacks discretion." That's a very vivid picture. I can remember growing up around my grandfather's farm and the rings that they used to put in the snouts of pigs to keep them from rooting under the fences and all. But imagine a ring of gold in such a pig. And yet, what Solomon is saying is that a woman who lacks discretion is such an individual, and it's an ability to do the right thing at the right time. I have been blessed with a wife who knows how to do the right thing at the right time. And oftentimes she makes up, more often than not, for my mistakes. But without such discretion, beauty in a woman is worthless, and it can even be an object of ridicule. How many of us have heard those dumb blonde jokes? Why? Because beauty is not all it's sometimes cracked up to be. But we also want to look, men, for a woman who has wisdom. In Proverbs 14, verse 1, Solomon said that the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish tears it down with her own hands. We're looking for a wise woman. And with this virtue, a woman can build a good home. But without it, men, all the effort that you may make in the world will be undermined by the person that you've chosen as your wife. So look for someone that's wise. Now there is a person that we need to avoid. Solomon talks about this several times. We are to avoid a contentious woman, an argumentative woman. There are some picturesque descriptions that are found in the book of Proverbs when you think about this. In Proverbs chapter 19, there in verse 13, Solomon says, "A foolish son is destruction to his father, and the contentions of a wife are a constant dripping." You ever had that dripping faucet that just drives you up a wall because you can't get it to stop until you go to the hardware store and you get that washer that fixes it, and it just drip, drip. We have a shower that way at home, and every time it starts dripping, I know I've got to run to the hardware store and get a new set of washers and springs and fix it again. Just drip, drip. And he says this is the way a contentious woman can be. In Proverbs chapter 27, if you look at verse 15 and 16, he says, a constant dripping on a day of steady rain and a contentious woman are alike. He who would restrain her restrains the wind and grasps oil with his right hand. One preacher's grandmother, who was a faithful Christian widow that raised six children throughout the Great Depression and remained a widow for 50 years, pointed out that two verses to him that he found especially helpful when he was a teenager. One is Proverbs chapter 21, verse 19, or verse 9. In Proverbs 21, verse 9, Solomon says, it is better to live in the corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. And then in verse 19, he says, it is better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman. If anybody should have known that, I imagine it would have been Solomon. With all of his wives and all of his concubines, I'm sure somewhere in that mix there was a contentious woman. And there may have been times that he would have thought, boy, I'd rather just go out to the desert and live than to live here in this house with this person. It's better to be single. It's better to be alone than it is to be married to the wrong person. And so that's why it's so important that we make the good choices initially, and that we ask God's help in picking that person. To be married to a godly woman is a wonderful blessing from God. And with the aid of Proverbs and what we've seen here, hopefully we will choose those. But I've picked on you women long enough. It's now time to talk about men and the selection of a husband. And young ladies, there are ways to learn about a man. One of those is to look at how he treats animals. You think, whoa, how he treats animals? Yes. That's what Solomon said. If you look at Proverbs chapter 12, verse 10, he says, a righteous man has regard for the life of his animal, but even the compassion of the wicked is cruel. A righteous man cares about his animals. Have you ever seen a farmer that was abusive to his mule? How is he as a person? You ever seen somebody that goes around kicking dogs? How are they as a person? People that treat animals with compassion tend to be people that are good people. It reveals a lot about the character of a man, the way he treats his animals. Also, does that man listen to the advice of others? That will tell you whether or not he's a fool or a wise person. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15, Solomon said, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man is one who listens to counsel. If you know a young man who just doesn't want to listen when others try to give advice, then, ladies, let me tell you, he's probably not going to listen to you either. And he's going to drive the marriage right into the ground because he's not willing to accept advice from others who may be able to help him along the way. And a third thing, as you're thinking about ways to learn about a man, is to consider this. What type of company does he keep? You might be destroyed along with him because of the company he keeps. In Proverbs 13, verse 20, Solomon said, he who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will suffer harm. Who does he spend time with? Does he spend time with wise people? Does he spend time with godly people? Does he spend time with people who are engaged in good things? Or does he spend time with people who are constantly doing things that are not good? And is he a quick-tempered man? Because that reveals whether or not he's a person of understanding. In Proverbs 14, verse 29, Solomon said, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. The excuse, well, I come by it honestly. My father had a bad temper. That's not good enough. You need a man who knows how to control his temper, a man who keeps it under wraps. And how does he make his money? That's important to know, ladies, because you're going to suffer the consequences of his actions if he makes his money in a dishonest way. In Proverbs 15, verse 27, Solomon said that he who profits illicitly troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. You ever seen a man who's lost everything because he came by it dishonestly? A woman who suddenly lost the very roof over her head because the man was involved in something that was either illegal, underhanded, or dishonest? And suddenly she's looking for a place to keep her children because of his dealings. It's important to think about how does he make his money. And does he feel like he always has to put in his 2 cents worth? If he doesn't get the last word, then it's not finished. Solomon says in Proverbs 17, there in verse 27, "He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool, when he keeps silent, is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is considered prudent." You know, I think it was Abraham Lincoln that one time talked about keeping our mouths closed at times. He said, "It's better to let the world think you a fool than open your mouth and remove all doubt." Is he one that can keep his mouth closed at certain times? And then finally, ladies, does he have compassion for the poor? If so, Scripture teaches us that his prayers will be answered. In Proverbs 21, verse 13, Solomon said, "He who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be answered." Do you see how Proverbs can be a guide to you women in the selection of a mate, in deciding whom you will agree to marry when that man asks you for your hand in marriage? If you'll think about these things, I think you'll find that God gives you a great deal of wisdom in choosing a good man. But there are some men that definitely you want to avoid. At least 3 come to mind. The first is what we would call a womanizer. That is, a man who will destroy himself and hurt all those involved. In Proverbs chapter 6, there in verse 27, Solomon says, "Can a man take fire into his own bosom and his clothes not be burned? Or can a man walk on hot coals and his feet not be scorched? So is the one who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her will not go unpunished." If this man flaunts God's will before he is married, ladies, what assurance do you have that he will not flaunt God's will after he's married? If he's looking for the women he can conquer in his life, he's not the man for you. A second one that you definitely want to avoid, and we've already touched on this one, is the quick-tempered man. You will become like him, and you will destroy yourself as well. In Proverbs 22, there in verse 24, Solomon said, "Do not associate with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare for yourself." The truth is, ladies, we men are usually on our best behavior before marriage. We put our best foot forward when we're trying to court you, and we want to woo you and win you. And if the best foot that we put forward is still questionable, if you still see things like tempers, then think about what that angry man will be like after you marry him. Because then there's no more putting the best foot forward. Then he's going to let you know what he's really like. The last of the 3 is what we'll call a drinker. Folks, alcohol has destroyed many a family. In Proverbs 23, there in verse 29, Solomon said, "Who has woe? Who has sorrow? Who has contentions? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those who linger long over wine. Those who go to taste mixed wine." There are many husbands that become both verbally and physically abusive after they've been drinking for a while. And ladies, you don't want to be the wife of one of those men. Again, it's better to be single alone than it is to be married to the wrong person. Among the most 2 important decisions that we can make in life, or the most important decisions we can make in life, 2 of those are these. With whom will I spend my life? That's an important decision because marriage is for life. With whom will I spend that life? Divorce and remarriage is not an option for a faithful Christian. God calls us to be committed to that person for life. There's only 1 exception. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, Jesus said, "Whoever divorces his wife except for immorality or adultery and marries another woman commits adultery." He gave us the exception. So who shall be the father or mother of my children? That's the second question. Ladies, you need to consider, who is going to be the father of my children? Men, you need to consider, who is going to be the mother of my children? And that's a choice that cannot be undone once those children are born. You can't take them back. You can't say, oh, I wish she was not their mother, or I wish he was not their father. Once those children enter into this world, that is set for life. And divorce is a violent action, and it has long-lasting effects. I have a book on my shelf in my office that's called The Lasting Effects of Divorce. And it looks at children who grew up in divorced homes, a 25-year study, and it talks about the damage. We think, oh, we can have an amicable divorce, or we can just agree to be friends after we're divorced. But divorce affects young people in so many ways that we don't even begin to understand. There is no such thing as a good divorce. There never was, there never will be. And so that's why it's important. I think it was one of our own members that did counseling, not in this congregation, but I believe it was E. Ray Jerkins, that did a video series one time called The Best Time to Get a Divorce. You know what he taught? He said it's before you get married. Learn the person before you marry and decide whether this is the person you need to marry or not. So here's where I want to leave you this morning. Should we make these decisions without first consulting God and the wisdom that's found in His Word? I have not exhausted all that Proverbs has to say about selecting a spouse, but I think we can see just from what we've looked at this morning that it's extremely practical, and it's important for us to take it and learn from it. The next time we're together, which Lord willing will be next Sunday, we're going to talk about how to be a good spouse in our marriages so that divorce does not become something that we have to face down the road, Lord willing. But that being said, I want to talk about the greatest marriage of all. It is the marriage of Christ to His church. You see, the church is the bride of Christ. And it is for this bride, according to what was read for us just a moment ago by Waddell, that Christ gave His life so that He might sanctify her, having cleansed her by washing of water with the Word. But folks, here's what you need to understand. The way to become a part of the bride of Christ is through the washing of water with the Word. It is through baptism, obedience to the gospel, the confession of Christ as Son of God, the repentance of sin. And then you can know the individual to whom we were intended to be married for all eternity, to be a part of His church, to be a part of that beautiful sanctified body that God wants us to be. My plea to you this morning is, if you're not that, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a child of God, and even more, if you're not the Christian husband or wife that you need to be, please make that choice to do so today. Won't you respond to His invitation as together we stand and sing?